Today's episode of the Outlap F1 podcast is brought to you by DB. DB is a Scandinavian brand that makes backpacks and bags to help people on the move stay ready for anything. From the streets to the peaks, DB's gear is travel tested by some of the world's best athletes, adventurers, and creators. Over the past decade, DB has designed and developed, released, and refined the best bags in the market. With DB's patented hookup system, you are able to attach smaller products to your backpack, roller, or tote. We are teaming up with DB to exclusively offer our listeners 10% off your next purchase by using the code POD10 or going to our link in the show notes. DB, it's time to move on, time to get going. This is the Outlap F1 podcast featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna, your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap.
Welcome to Season 3, Episode 38 of the Outlap F1 podcast. It is the Dutch Grand Prix race review. Andy, first of all, you tried to trick me by saying Belgium GP in the agenda.
I'm fixing it right now.
But I'm a professional, and I don't just read off the teleprompter a la Ron Burgundy. So now I can mention, you're listening to James right now, and I've got Andy here, otherwise known as the dynamic duo, holding on the reins for the whole podcast. Just us tonight, Andy. I'm excited.
We're getting holiday pay, right?
Double pay, triple pay. Right? Otherwise, I'm going on strike. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's been a while since it's been just me and you, but still, these are some of my favorite episodes.
That's
Andy.
True. So it has been.
If I had one co-host to have a podcast with all alone, it'd be you, Andy. So how's your day going? Aww. How was your weekend? How are things in the life of Andy?
Things are okay. Obviously, it's always good to have F1 cars in your life for a weekend, so that's been good. Got out to a golf course yesterday and trying to improving my game for my one dismal outing with you before. So shot a 109 at a course out in Morton Grove. So first time I ever played that. So that was a fun course and a good way to spend a Saturday afternoon.
Very nice. Very nice. I had a pretty good... What is this, Labor Day weekend? I have to work tomorrow, so it's not really a holiday weekend for me so much. But had a nice little weekend in Michigan, came home today, did a lot of adult things like grocery shopping and meal prepping and not relaxing. Yep. So not my favorite kind of Sunday. But there was a race this morning. They did have actual racing.
And it went green.
It did go green.
Yes, so we actually had green flag running.
So we do actually have some things to talk about and some news. So before we get into that, I need to mention that you can find us on all of the social media sites, Twitter, Instagram, Discord, Reddit, YouTube. And you can find us on all of those at Outlap F1 Podcast. Of course, we have that link tree. Makes it real nice and easy right on our Twitter main page there. So check that out. You can email the show, as many people do, every race review lately, and I just love getting all these responses from everybody. But you can email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. You can check out our website at www.outlapf1.com, where you'll find all of our episodes, such as the F1 for Beginners episode, where if you are new to the sport, make sure you go check that out. And you can learn all kinds of things about F1 from soup to nuts. That's Season 3, Episode 6. You can also check out some of our Sabre Cook interviews, both from Season 2, Episode 2, and Season 3, Episode 21. She is a great young driver, a lot of fun to watch. And, of course, you can check out our co-host Deanna's main project, Air Relapt, where she should have a race reaction for this Dutch Grand Prix out later this week sometime. I know she's doing some traveling. Not sure if she's gotten that new computer yet, but hopefully she has, because that'll make things a lot easier for her.
Good news is she got through the storms okay. I mean, that last episode, we kind of left everybody hanging. We weren't quite sure as the storms were literally rolling through. But I'm happy to report that she is alive and well and all good.
Yes.
And enjoying her Labor Day weekend as well.
Yeah, some pretty intense scenes coming out of the New York City area with some flooding and things. So I'm glad that she made it out okay. And in some really, really, really good news, we got the Outlap F1 Nation stepping up. Andy, what can you tell me about that?
Oh, well, if people are actually listening to, you know, we keep talking about, you know, if you want to donate to the show and help us out, we've actually had quite a few in the last few weeks. And our latest addition, Mr. Kevin Kelly, a guy who I have known out in Arkansas basically since my early Twitter days. I used to think it was him and me and the guys out in Austin doing the F1 podcast out there. We thought we were like the only four F1 fans in the whole country, but I've known Kevin for a while, him and his koi pond. Major shout out to him. He's decided to chip in with a awesome monthly donation to the show. I promised him that we would put it to good use, so we're going to do that. Also, I know this is his birthday weekend, so happy birthday, Kevin. And again, thank you so much for all the support. It's truly humbling when we get stuff like that. And your comments to us have been great.
Yeah, I mean, it's humbling enough to have our listenership grow, but now to have listeners that care enough to donate to the show to help us make the show better just is mind-blowing and super awesome. So thank you, Kevin. Happy birthday. I'll actually be in Arkansas in about a month and a half to do some golfing myself and attend a little Auburn-Arkansas football game, a little SEC football tailgating. I cannot wait for that. But, of course, another way you can help the show is by going to Manscaped and using code OUTLAP, that's OUTLAP, all one word, for 20% off and free shipping. We're very happy to be partners with Manscaped, so make sure you check them out and all of their great products. Okay. All of the housekeeping items are now out of the way, Andy. Let's get into it. And as usual, we're going to start off with our headlines of the day. And I'll give it to you first, sir.
Oh, my gosh. What an atmosphere. I mean, this is kind of like F1 meets in the club, I guess, with all the DJing and then the jumping up and down. But my gosh, what an atmosphere at the circuit in Zandvoort this morning. While the race itself was probably far from a classic, there was tension throughout. So this is one that you kind of had to work for a little bit to get some entertainment value out of, but there was strategy calls and all sorts of 200-mile-an-hour chess going on, which was really, I thought, very interesting to get into. If anyone thought Mercedes were just going to do what they normally do and just drive off, no. Max has something to say about that. He was back big time this weekend, and the battle at the front is definitely, definitely back on.
Yes, it is. It's like a heavyweight title fight. Blow to blow, and then the other guy gets the advantage. Other guy gets the advantage. It's awesome. My headline of the day is orange, orange, and more orange. Kind of as you alluded to with the atmosphere, it was literally a sea of orange as advertised, as we thought. It was insane. One thing I would note, if I was in the stands, I would not be a big fan of somebody near me lighting off a flare and having a bunch of orange smoke in my face.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't take too kindly to that. Like at the end of the race, light it off. Let's go crazy. But during the race, trying to see, I don't know, not great. But besides that, it looked absolutely awesome there. Thought the fans were well-behaved. I know a lot of people were worried about some things. I didn't really hear or see of anything major coming out of the weekend. I did actually hear the fans cheering when Lewis Hamilton made some comments after the race. When he lifted the trophy at the end of the race, there was some cheering then, too. So, you know, great on you, the fans in Amsterdam up there in Netherlands. So, a great, great day, great weekend. And as you said, wasn't the best of races, definitely not a classic, but I bet you 98% of the people there got exactly what they paid for.
Oh, you know absolutely. What I mean? So, I mean, between all the DJing and the dance party that was going on and then the race result that they, I'm sure that they were rooting for, they definitely got. I mean, my guy, you're not kidding about the flare thing. I think I sat behind somebody once at a MotoGP race where they let off one of the – it was just one for Rossi, and that one was disruptive enough. I cannot imagine the – and supposedly I read tweets from a couple people who were trying to go that those were supposedly banned. Well, that security firm should get fired for that because they didn't really do a very good job of banning the flare thing because that was out in full force today.
I forget who tweeted it, but I saw some pictures that at one point – I don't know if it was a flare or something had started a small like brush fire just outside the track and some of the longer grass there. So it's like it's not a very safe thing to do. So hopefully they can get a handle on that because that's a bit much. But so we're past the headlines of the day now. Let's move into the qualifying recap. And for that, I hand it to you again, Andy.
Yep. So we had a relatively uninterrupted session, although we did have one red flag at the end of Q2 that actually proved kind of pivotal. But we did manage to get everything in. There was no rain interference at all this weekend, so everything kind of went off pretty much without a hitch. So going out of Q1 in P20, the very, very upset at his teammate Nikita Mazepin. I don't know if we really even want to talk about it, but I guess he's really pissed at his teammate. So, what are you going to do? P19 was Mick Schumacher. P18, Robert Kubica, who was subbing in for the recently COVID-positive tested Kimi Räikkönen. That came out, I think, Friday morning. Whether or not we see Kimi back next weekend is kind of up in the air. He will have to produce, I think, two subsequent negative tests in order to clear protocol. So we're not sure if we're going to see Bobby K in next weekend as well.
Yeah, I'm really, really hoping Kimi is able to make it to Monza for his last hurrah in Monza. That would really suck if he misses that. So everybody out there, cross your fingers, pray to whatever God you pray to. Let's get Kimi out there, please.
Yeah, yeah. He deserves one good send-off from the Tifosi, absolutely. P17 was Sebastian Vettel, who did not have himself a very great qualifying. P16 was Sergio Perez. This was also a surprise. He did not make the flag for his second one at the end of Q1. We kind of predicted that we were going to see some clown show stuff going on, and there definitely was some of that happening at the end of Q1. So Sergio Perez was the guy that got caught out. However, that meant that he could take an extra engine penalty and change components, so he technically actually ended up starting from the pit lane this morning. Going out in Q2 and going no farther in P15 was Yuki Tsunoda. P14, again, Williams doing well, really, really well in qualifying this year. Nicholas Latifi, however, he crashed out to bring out the final red flag at the end of Q2. That caught out Lando Norris, who qualified in P13. He did not get a second run in that Q2 session. P12 was Lance Stroll. And P11, once again, Mr. Saturday. Granted, it's not the heroics of last week, but he actually also spun and crashed out of Q2. But he was fortunate in that he did not have to incur any penalties, so he was able to line up in P11 today. Going in Q3 from 10 to 1, in P10 was Daniel Ricciardo, P9, Fernando Alonso, P8, Esteban Ocon, P7, personal best for him, Antonio Giovinazzi. Where did that come from?
Feeling the heat.
Kind of the shocker of qualifying. Well, it's motivation's a great, you know, pressure's a great motivator, I guess. It's got nice to see him come good in the Alfa Romeo. P6 was Carlos Sainz. P5, Charles Leclerc. Another guy that just consistently putting up results this year. P4, Pierre Gasly. Awesome laps for him in the qualifying session. P3 was Valtteri Bottas. P2 was Lewis Hamilton. And taking pole, probably by not as much as he thought he was going to do, because I guess he had some issues, but with a lap time of 108.885 was Max Verstappen.
Thank you, Andy. Just a couple quick things. A little bit disappointed. Charles Leclerc only in P5. I thought he had P4 locked up after free practice and the beginning of qualifying. He just couldn't put that lap together at the end there. But like you said, Pierre Gasly is just gets better and better. Really unreal what he's doing in that AlphaTauri. I'm sure part of it is how young and inexperienced Yuki Tsunoda is, but he's just routinely just wiping the floor with him and just extracting every bit of performance out of the AlphaTauri. It is truly something to watch. And you mentioned the Williams getting through to Q2 again, both of them, and then crashing out, unfortunately. But I know George's for sure seemed to be like just putting everything on the line and trying to get everything.
He was flat out pushing.
Yeah, which I love to see it, you know. Maybe next year if he ends up being on Mercedes, you don't want to see that quite as much because you don't want him to crash out when he should be qualifying in the top two rows. But I like seeing him push as of now in the Williams. Overall, Verstappen getting the P1 there was just the start of the best things that come for the Dutch fans. And then kind of moving into the race a little bit as we go lights out here. One thing that I was worried about going into the race after something we saw through the free practice sessions and then especially in qualifying there, thankfully, we didn't have any safety cars, no real yellow flag incidents besides one from my boy Sebastian Vettel spinning, shocker.
Who managed to do his he's still the chieftain of the Spin Academy, in case you were wondering.
I guess we could talk more about it later, but he could have really made things interesting in the race with where he spun and the timing of that spin. But
absolutely.
And then there was no red flags, thankfully, because the red flags took forever to be dealt with.
Yes.
And I mean, that's the nature of that track, it seems, and they have those giant cranes because of the inability to get some of the recovery vehicles out there. But that could end up playing a bigger card, I think, if we stay racing in Zandvoort. That could be an issue at some point down the line. What would you think about the lengthy red flags?
Well, it definitely was compromising the practices, if nothing mm-hmm. else. I mean, the first practice was essentially almost a write-off. I mean, people were still kind of doing hard tire runs, just trying to get a feel, lay some rubber down kind of on the track. And what ended up happening was, I think it was Lance Stroll's or possibly, no, it was Vettel. It was Vettel's MGUK conked out at the end of the pit lane, and the car was clearly, you know, easily retrievable. It was in a good spot. But I guess the electronics were still showing that the car was live. So you have to kind of make sure in that situation, especially as a marshal, that, you know, you can't touch the car until you get an all clear. And they ended up having to bring out the mechanics with the rubber gloves on to touch the car mm-hmm. and verify that it was safe to touch. So that thing ended up lasting like 35 minutes, which is almost unheard of in dry running.
Yeah.
So FP1, pretty much a complete and total write-off. And then the accidents in FP2, you know, again, more kind of not necessarily electronics issues, but just tough place to – there really aren't easy places to store a car. So you have to almost like Monaco-esque crane them up. And that can just take a long time. So, you know, it's I think the first time is the first time F1's been here since 1985. So a lot of learning happened on Friday. Yeah. And it I think it caught some guys out for sure.
Yeah, worked to my benefit, not going to lie, in FP2. I had a small bet on Charles Leclerc to finish fastest in FP2, and it hit. Partly and thanks to the red flag. So a couple $100 in my pocket. Thank you, Mr. Leclerc. That's why you're my boy.
Yeah, there you go.
But something
I didn't know you could even bet a practice. And then you're sending me this, and I'm like, is that the best strategy I've ever heard? But hey,
no,
it paid off for you, buddy. I'm glad it did.
No, Andy, I'm just a degenerate, so I'll bet anything. But yeah, something else you mentioned that we'll get into real quick. Mercedes looks like they may have had some power unit issues coming in. At least I was really hoping they did, not going to lie. But it seemed like that was not an issue came qualifying and when it ultimately came to the race. So,
Well, you've also got a lot of people running backup engines. I mean, it's probably the engine with the most amount of miles on it. And you didn't think that this was necessarily going to be an engine killer.
Yeah.
So you were probably trying to get away with, you know, backup gearboxes, backup engine and power units in the car on Friday. It looked like all of that pretty much got shored up when they went with their main units and main gearboxes for qualifying and then therefore the race.
Yeah, so I was disappointed to say the least. But so for the actual race itself, real quickly through the back markers, of course, Mazepin finishing in 20th, Tsunoda in 19th, Schumacher 18th, George Russell in 17th, Latifi in 16th, Bobby Kay, Robert Kubica in 15th, Antonio Giovinazzi dropped from 7th down to 14th, and we got Sebastian Vettel in 13th. All of those drivers at least two laps back off the lead lap there. So highlights there. Bummer for Williams. Good qualifying and the finish that far down. Not a good day for Yuki Tsunoda again. Not much you could do there. But I've said a lot of bad things about Robert Kubica. Wasn't a huge fan of his in his most recent stint in F1. But generally impressed that he could come off the street like this, give a P15. I mean, not much more you can ask for in Alfa Romeo. Not quite a Nico Hülkenberg-esque kind of COVID coverage type thing, but not a bad day for Robbie K. So any notes from you in the back markers?
No, I think the standout, I think you just said it, was probably Bobby K. Just not being last. You know, and he even commented that he thought this was probably the most functional F1 car he's been in since he came back. True. If you remember, he was driving the 2019 Williams. yikes. that car was probably crazy to drive, and I'm sure the best thing he could do was leave it alone at the end of that year. So it was nice to see that. Disappointing for Giovinazzi, obviously had the great qualifying, did not translate at all to the race. Yuki Tsunoda just wants to be out of Amsterdam, I think, at this point. Just a bad weekend kind of all the way around, compromised early, compromised late. So he's had a really rough run in the last couple of races. No one's really questioning his form. They still think his talent is definitely there. But, you know, you'll start to hear, you know, whispers that Red Bull Academy does not take kindly to not getting good results, a.k.a. ask Pierre Gasly that question. And if he doesn't start to turn it around and turn it around kind of quick, you're going to see some pressure probably put on by Helmut Marko, if nobody else.
Yeah, for sure. That's actually a really good point. What do we have, like 6, 7 races left, depending on what races we can actually complete? Yeah. But, I mean, he's got to have kind of a strong finish. Otherwise, he might – I don't see him – I don't see them moving on from him before next year. And I think we'll get a little bit deeper in this with one of the fan emails. But he needs to show something. Otherwise, he's going to start next year on the hot seat for sure. You know, I'm sure Honda was part of the motivation bringing him on. Honda's not part of the equation anymore next year, so that'll be interesting to keep an eye on. But let's go ahead and take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about the midfield and the podium.
Attention listeners from across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston, do you have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like they're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code OUTLAP. That's OUTLAP, one word, 20% off, free shipping. Let's get back to it.
All right, welcome back to Season 3, Episode 38 of the Dutch Grand Prix Race Review. This is the Outlap F1 Podcast with your dynamic duo, the two crusaders of Brother Rice, Southsiders through and through. James and Andy are here to bring you all of the review thoughts and news going around in the world of F1 during the wonderful Dutch Grand Prix. All right, so let's get into the midfield now, Andy. We had Lance Stroll in P12. He was the last of the drivers to be two laps back. Then we had Danny Ricciardo scoring 0 points for McLaren in P11. Lando Norris making his way up to P10 after a disappointing Saturday to get a point. He was a lap back. Esteban Ocon in ninth. Sergio Perez made his way back up to P8, but only secured 4 points for Red Bull. He's also a lap back. Carlos Sainz in P7 lost his place from where he started to get 6 points, also a lap back. Then we had Fernando Alonso, P6. He got 8 points for Alpine, but he also was let back. And then Charles Leclerc, P5, to get 10 points, and Pierre Gasly to get 12 points in P4. Was Gasly a lap back, or is he the first of the...
No, he was too. Verstappen lapped everybody up to P3.
That's crazy.
Just crazy how dominant he was today.
Yeah, it really was. So, I mean, one of my biggest takeaways from this midfield, obviously, is the McLaren. Only 1 point on the weekend. Danny Ric seemed to have the pace in qualifying, had a pretty good day, and then did nothing today. Lando Norris, I mean, did everything he could today, but it just wasn't too much to do, it seemed like. So what did you think about the McLaren? Where was the miss?
I think the miss was the they've had weekends in the past. First of all, I didn't think that the circuit was going to suit them all that great anyway. It's low-speed corners, which is still the kind of bugaboo that's left in that car. They're more great at where we're going next week, point-and-shoot track, true, Monza and Belgium. So this, I kind of was expecting them not to be great, but they didn't make the step from Friday to Saturday that I think all the other teams did. And whether that was a setup call, I think Norris actually mentioned a little bit in his interview after qualifying that he had made a setup call, and the direction they went probably didn't end up suiting the conditions as they ended up playing out. So that's the closest like technical thing I can tell you about it, other than Lando got really screwed by that red flag at the end. He was setting green sectors. I don't know if he makes it out of Q2, even if he gets that lap in. The fact that he never even got a lap, we saw, I think, some dramatic track evolution going on with the lap times. So they were coming down. Would it have been enough? I honestly couldn't tell you. Other than, you know, it wasn't anything like technical fault with the car or anything, other than he was just struggling and not necessarily confident. The other thing I would just tell everybody is, got to remember how nasty that wreck was last week. And Yeah, I mean, he looks fine, and he's, you know, back to his normal, you know, smiley self again. But, you know, he knows how to act in front of a camera, and it's got to have some sort of an effect after a knock like that. So, yeah, just not on the pace. They tried – I thought they actually had probably one of the better strategy decisions. They started him on the medium tires. They went very, very long. They went longer than anybody else. He got up at one point to P7, came back out, and was closing on the Alpines. And then what you saw a lot of today was you could close, but once you got into that 2-3 second range, you hit that wall of air, and he just didn't have enough ultimate pace or tire advantage enough to make any moves on the Alpines. And then eventually he lost out to Perez at the end.
Yeah, real good point there. And something that I was a little bit disappointed in Ferrari's day. I mean, we got a P7 and a P5. Good for 16 total points, but there was definitely more points on the table for Ferrari. And I think they needed to maximize their points haul, considering we're going to Monza next, which, you know, should be a Ferrari check historically. But this year, it's definitely going to be a McLaren track, I think, in this battle. So hopefully they were able to get enough points to have a buffer there. But, like, Sainz just looked uncomfortable pretty much all day. Didn't really have a feel for the car. Even said so afterwards. That this was really the first time he just straight up did not have a feel for the car during a race. So something that him and the engineers are going to have to go back and really take a look at before the next race, which is just in 7 days. he was overtaken by Alonso there at the end. I thought he was going to hold on to P6, but it got pretty hairy there at the end. Wouldn't know it if you only watched the initial coverage, unfortunately, but that's like
apparently we like to watch victory laps of a guy who was 25 seconds up the road and was, you know, he needed an entire lap on the camera. I mean, that's local TV. That's fine. I get it. I understand it. But it'd be nice if you could have some sort of like a dual box or something, a split screen to show on a track where you didn't see a lot of, true overtakes. One of the better ones, because Alonso actually did really nice to stick that move into going into, I think they call it the Tarzan corner, which is turn one, and then finishing the move at turn three was a really nice overtake on Sainz kind of at the end, literally on the last lap.
Yeah, Leclerc, pretty lonely race, never really challenged from behind. He got a nice gap on Sainz and then just continued to build on that. Was close to Gasly in the beginning, obviously, since they started right next to each other, but never could really get close enough to him to make a move. Gasly was on it all day. I think if Leclerc would have qualified fourth, he would have finished fourth. That's just kind of how this track was today. So definitely some points on the table there. I thought the Alpines had a pretty good day. They seemed to be in the mix for most of the day. So that was kind of different to see. It seems like Alpine's getting stronger as the year goes on for sure.
Their aero development has actually been very, very strong. You know, and they're kind of in that same Ferrari mode where, like, low speed corners, not power dependent circuits, they can do really well, and they showed very well today.
Yeah, big story I'd say is Checo Perez and the lack of points for him definitely hurts in the constructors battle. Of course, I was talking a lot of good things about Red Bull and how I thought they had the constructors pretty fairly in hand. So thank you, Checo, for making me look dumb. Appreciate it. But he was driver of the day. But that's, I think, one of those driver of the days where it's like you have the fastest car and you're starting way out of position. So you better do a lot of overtakes. So you kind of, I mean, you should win driver of the day. Unless the vote was only fans at the track, I think he probably deserved it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he was Mr. Overtaker today. But he was passing a lot of back markers. And then he would pit and then have to pass them again. So, I mean, he made the move stick and he was, getting good encouragement from his team. And to go from pit lane to P8 is actually pretty good on this track. So I think it's a fair award for him. But, he's a victim of his own circumstances, unfortunately. And he could have been, you saw when we get to the podium and we get to the battle between Lewis and Max, Red Bull could have used a rear gunner today and he wasn't anywhere there.
Yeah, that's a good point. We'll get into that when we get to the podium, but that was kind of the same old story for Red Bull the last few years here. Before we get into Gasly, something I forgot to bring up about Sebastian Vettel when we were talking about the back markers, that spin that he did have, that could have been really, really bad when you watch the onboard of Bottas going around him and then Gasly narrowly missing him as well. Like, if he would have collected one or both those guys, this could have gotten really crazy, really fast. It obviously would have been a red flag. Probably lasted a really long time. That's just how the flags are there. But that could have been pretty sketchy.
It could have been a gnarly accident. It would have for sure been a safety car. It was the only double yellow flag of the entire race. And it would have thrown everybody's strategy completely up in the air, and Lord only knows what we would have gotten as a finish. Could have had a grandstand finish because of it. Who knows? I mean, but the fact, you know, he spun. Luckily, Bottas took a really nice evasive action, goes around him on the outside. He went onto that painted Aramco ad that they had, you know, so that's paint. But luckily, the tires stuck enough. He didn't, you know, get him dirty enough to where he would wreck. And, you know, both him and Gasly got out of the way and made their respective moves stick, so they really only lost maybe a couple of seconds. But, yeah, that could have changed the entire complexion of this race.
Yeah, Bottas avoiding Vettel there, looking like he's ready for his stint in NASCAR.
Yeah, he had the multiple lines in that corner for sure.
Yeah. All right, so then real quick on Pierre Gasly's weekend day, what do you got on him, Andy?
Just a guy who gets it done when you give him an opportunity. Just kept his nose clean all day, really – you know, he kept Leclerc behind him, which I thought was dang impressive considering, you know, as we were talking about, I mean, Ferrari was definitely on it on Friday. And you saw the disparity between what he was able to do and what Tsunoda was able to do today. So, you know, again, just more positive vibes for a guy having a really good year in Pierre Gasly. It looks like he's probably going to end up staying in that AlphaTauri seat, which is probably just as well because I think that's the best shot for him to have success. But you're almost kind of hoping post this next deal or whatever he's going to get signed for. Personally, I'm hoping his future is somewhere outside of the Red Bull Academy because for whatever reason, he's probably got as far as he's going to go with that group. So in order to show what I think his true talent is, it's probably going to have to be somewhere else.
Yeah, I could definitely see him sliding into an Alpine seat when Alonso's ultimately done yet again. I'd have to push back a little bit on what you initially said about him being a guy that gets it done when he gets an opportunity because he's in this he's getting these opportunities because he blew
the
real
true.
Opportunity he had. So
that's true.
But not to diminish what he's doing or what he's done because I think the story of him getting that chance at Red Bull maybe a little too soon. And kind of squandering that and then getting sent back down and him not just kind of like beating himself up, doing a woe is me thing and whatever. He really just got refocused and has been just amazing ever since. So tons of credit to the kid for that. He's grown on me. Like I like him more and more because of the way he reacted to being sent down and he just keeps getting stronger. So good on him for that. But let's go ahead and get into our podium. So we had Valtteri Bottas in third. Get 15 points, Lewis Hamilton in second, and of course Max Verstappen in first, getting all 25 points because Hamilton got his 18 plus the point for fastest lap, which Bottas almost ruined, could have ruined, should have ruined, because I did have a
by all reckonings he probably should have. If it was one lap later, he would have.
Of course, my bet for fastest lap of the day was on Bottas, so I got a little excited, but I was like, nah, this isn't gonna last. Lewis is gonna get it. But so let's start with Bottas. It really seemed like Mercedes was hanging him out to dry. It was pretty early on when they told him he wasn't going to have a shot ever.
Lap 13, your engineer comes on and says, if you can't pick it up, you have no shot.
And,
I mean, that's not encouragement. That's we're going to hang you out to dry and be ready for it.
Yeah, and it sure seems like George Russell to Mercedes is the worst kept secret in all of sports right now. So it's just a matter of time till it's official.
Yeah. What did you think? There's actually more than a little bit of rumblings going on actually from the paddock in the Netherlands tonight that I think Canal Plus even reported that the Bottas to Alfa Romeo deal might even be announced as early as tomorrow morning. So we may have some early morning tweeting from our account about that if it breaks. I promise as soon as I see it, I will retweet it.
I'll just open up Twitter when my alarm goes off in like 6 hours or so. I'll check and I'll retweet it so you can check, get it there first.
There you go.
Right off the press. But let's go ahead and move into Lewis Hamilton. I mean, decent day. What did you think?
Well, a combination of two things. One, it was kind of encouraging to see that he was pushing the pace. He was trying to get everything out of the car that he could. I think he was just up against it today, and I think Max was just on another level. But I thought Mercedes you actually saw the two-on-one kind of pincer move strategy calls really trying to mess with Max's race. You know, they hung Bottas out to dry. They kept him out on that set of soft tires so that Max would get some dirty air, and that allowed Hamilton to come up. And they pushed the envelope on strategy, which is something you usually don't see Mercedes do. Today, it just didn't work. I didn't think it was the wrong call to try it, because all you were going to do was follow Max all the way around the track anyway. Mm-hmm. And I know Lewis comes on and, you know, does his normal griping about tires that he always does whenever something isn't, you know, a perfectly working for him. But in the same vein, yeah, it just didn't come out. I mean, they ended up doing a three stopper at the end of the day, and who thought we were going to get that when we had other teams doing a one stopper? So, but yeah, best thing, this is a decent result for Hamilton. You know, he gets out of here. He only loses net 6 points. He's still in the fight. He's going to go to some tracks that are going to suit him a little bit better. So yeah, this is kind of like you said at the beginning, this is a heavyweight title fight. You know, it's literally tit for tat right now.
Yeah. Questionable, strategy call by Mercedes there. But like you said, I mean, they had to try something. Max was securely in the lead, but this kind of goes back to Max. I mean, with a better wingman, would have not had to deal with some of the headaches that Red Bull could have potentially faced, and kind of sort of did by having pretty much he just had to match whatever Lewis was doing. If Lewis was going to pit, Max was going to pit too. But if Checo was up there in the mix, then Mercedes couldn't really play and run two different strategies and have all the options they have. So just disappointing that Checo has shown flashes. He's a great driver. We all know that. He's got a great career. But it just, for some reason, he's kind of lost it here the last little bit in the F1 season. So, bummer there.
It's Saturday woes. It's Saturday woes. And then, you know, the thing of, you know, binning it in Belgium, I mean, that's on him. I mean, he would have been, would have been starting in a decent spot. But, I mean, it's still not where he needs to be. That car needs to be minimum P5 going into a Sunday, and it just hasn't been there. Now, that having been said, he's still getting more out of that second seat than a lot of other guys have.
True.
Which just goes to show how hard that second seat, I think, really is. And that's why they kept him. So, you know, positives and negatives, you know, when you look at that second seat right now.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm so glad that they've committed to him next year already, because I think that's going to be the test. Now, if he starts off next year slow out of the gate, then I'm.
The helmet Marco machine will be on him and on him fast.
Yeah. But I've been wanting to see that second seat get an extended chance, get a second year to see if something could you know, really take root there. And I think if it's going to happen with anybody, it's going to be Checo. So I'm really interested to see with another full off season with the team, what can happen. And of course, we're going to have this the craziness of a completely new car. So maybe can't be too quick to judge, but everybody's going to be on equal footing as far as that goes. So definitely want to see some big things out of Checo next year for sure. What else you got?
So one last thing on just Bottas and Hamilton. I did just want to take everybody through the weird sequence with the fastest lap. So Bottas, they call Bottas in with like 4 laps to go. They put him on a set of used softs. And I'm sure he naturally thought that it was his job to go out and get the fastest lap. however, I guess they brought him in because they were worried about tire vibration. I mean, they had a chasm. Like I said, he was the last car on the lead lap. So they had a chasm until the next car. So there wasn't any pressure behind. Apparently they were just doing it to cover off and worry about tires. So Valtteri goes out and, you know, pushes the pace as you're apt to do on those soft tires. And James Valls, who's like the lead strategy guy in Mercedes, comes on the radio and says, "Will you stop that? We don't want you to do that." And so
Valtteri, it's James.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so he backs off, but it didn't matter. The damage was already done. So he actually takes the fastest lap, which then forced Hamilton to have to come in for a third stop to put him on a set of soft tires. So then he could reclaim the fastest lap on the last lap. So the margin of victory looks, you know, 25, 26 seconds. It was really closer to 3 or 4, you know, net. But, you know, the things that happen. But, I mean, if today didn't tell you that Mercedes is effectively done with Mr. Valtteri, I don't know really what more you could have done without saying.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And a team that, you know, recency bias obviously included here, but the last few seasons, if a team's going to have an absolutely terrible pit stop, it's been Mercedes.
Yep.
And to have to take two like that at the end is it's pretty risky, and I was a little bit surprised.
Bottas is, he got held for like 3 seconds or something. It was a 5 second stop. Now, granted, again, he had the chasm, so it didn't matter. But you know, this is the team with the 2 day pit stop.
Well, yeah, and now we have finally have this rule taking place with the whole slowing down the pit stop thing, which I still think is stupid. But
I agree.
Didn't really seem to affect too much. Just that we didn't see any sub or even close to sub 2 second.
Pit stops. I think the closest one I saw was 2.5.
I meant to look to see who the fastest was. I'm sure it was still Red Bull because they're still awesome at that. But yeah, so speaking of Red Bull, the winner, the hometown kid, Max Verstappen, all 25 points. I mean, just from the word go, or I should say from the words lights out, and away we go. Because he went and never really looked back. So overall, what do you think about his day? Could he have done anything more? Maybe lap Bottas and Hamilton too.
That would have been about it. You're watching the first lap, and to be honest, after watching Formula 3 and watching even the W Series go through that first corner, you figured there was going to be carnage. I mean, that was what all the pundits were calling for, that we were going to have a safety car on the first lap, if nothing else, maybe a red flag on the first lap. And you watch the end of that first lap, and Max is gone. 1.7 the gap. I mean, that's like Vettel-esque in his Red Bull days when he was just on another level. Almost 2 seconds in one lap from a charging Hamilton who had everything to go for and was going for it and was, I thought, going to be in the catbird seat in P2, was just amazing. So, I mean, he just poof, gone. After that point, I think that was basically race done. All he had to do was basically cover the strategy, not really bin it, not screw it up. And that's all he did for the rest of the day. Definitely made that home crowd happy. They were ecstatic. I didn't actually see him take the checkered flag because there was so much of that smoke going off, along with the fireworks and everything else that they had all set up. Just a dominant performance, but this is the fight back that we've been wanting. So, you know, you can't ask for it. And then when you get it, be annoyed with it. So, you know, this is now it's advantage Max. Now we go to Monza. Is it advantage Lewis? Where is this going to go? And the answer is we don't know yet. And that's the best part.
Exactly. I was going to say, like, that's what I wanted. That's what we all wanted. And we're getting it, and it's pretty damn exciting. So hopefully Verstappen calls his buddy Charles Leclerc, and Leclerc can give him some pointers on how to keep Lewis behind him at Monza, because Charles happened to be pretty good at it just a couple of years ago. So hopefully good things happen in Monza, and maybe Red Bull can retake the constructor's lead too. But speaking about leads, since John taking the night off, I'll go through the recap of the driver standings this week. We now have Max Verstappen back in first place with 224.5. Hamilton 3 points behind with 221.5. Bottas now in third with 123. Lando Norris is in fourth with 114, just ahead of Checo Perez, who's got 108 in fifth. Charles Leclerc in sixth with 92. Carlos Sainz in seventh with 89.5. Pierre Gasly in eighth place with 66. Danny Ric, 56 in ninth place, and then Fernando Alonso, 46 points in 10th place. Andy, if you could recap the team standings, please.
Yep, absolutely. In first place, we still have Mercedes AMG at 344 and a half points. Second place is Red Bull at 332.5. Third is now Ferrari at 181.5. Fourth is McLaren at 170. Fifth is Alpine on 90. Sixth is AlphaTauri with 84. Seventh is Aston Martin with 53. Eighth, Williams, Mercedes at 20. Ninth is Alfa Romeo on 3 points and still bringing up the rear in 10th place with 0 points. The Haas Mazepin F1 team.
you're a Lacalle. You're a Lacalle.
Yeah,
whatever. I don't know how to say it.
Ukulele. It is.
All right, so we do have a little bit of news. Not the best news, but maybe not as bad as some people might be thinking. So, Andy, why don't you tell us what's going on with F3?
So this broke, I think, Saturday morning. And, you know, if you're on Twitter, and Twitter does what Twitter does, and I understand that, And there's a lot of leaping to conclusions that aren't necessarily true. So I have done a good bit of digging on this issue because it affects Circuit of the Americas, it affects the U.S. Grand Prix and what we're going to see there. So FIA F3, which was going to be the support race along with W Series, F3 is no longer going to Circuit of the Americas. They are now wrapping up their season in Sochi, Russia. They cited as the issue as to why they're not going a logistical issue. It's not directly related to COVID. It's kind of an indirectly related to COVID. My guess as to what happened, and I don't know this for sure, but it seems to make sense. I think what they did, when F1 does the flyaway races, they're called the flyaway races because they literally put everything on a plane and take it all over the world. I don't think F3 as a series and those teams are as nearly well-funded as the F1 teams are. So what you have is I think they were going to use some sort of a sea freight line to transport their cars and all the stuff across the Atlantic to get over here in the U.S. I think that has then since fallen through because they are citing logistics as the main issue. Here's the leap was, well, if F3 is falling off, does that mean that the USGP is now in jeopardy, even though it's still technically on the calendar? I have talked to people down in Austin whom I trust, who are on the inside. I actually spent a good 15 minutes on the phone with them this morning. They are telling me unequivocally the COTA race is still on. W Series is confirming that they're still coming. The COVID numbers in Austin proper, maybe not the rest of Texas, are actually starting to tick down as we've seen with all of these different surges. So they go way up, they peak, and then they start to come down. It looks like they're on the way down, possibly on the other side of the curve, which would be great by the time we get to October. The other thing, even though, you know, the Texas governor I know makes all these headlines internationally, and he's kind of a moron. Let's just call it what it is. He's a moron. So even though it's not necessarily mandated, the vast majority of the people in Austin are wearing masks and they're maintaining really good protocols. So I'm still confident that we're going to get this race in at full capacity. I would still expect there to be some sort of a vaccine proof being shown at the gate or a negative COVID test within 72 hours. That seems to be what Zandvoort did. That's what we've done with events here in Chicago with a couple of things. So I would expect something like that to still go on. And what we're going to basically end up happening is USF4, which is a feeder series in here, and something called USFR, which is a step above that, are now going to be the other support races along with W Series on the USGP weekend. So I know there's a lot of people that are worried about this. I was worried about it too. I feel much better after talking to people on the ground who literally do the play-by-play at Circuit of the Americas. So they're being told to still plan on being there.
Yeah, I mean, I think my biggest surprise in this with F3 announcing is that, and maybe I've missed something, but that this is the first kind of logistical issue we've seen or heard about because working in the logistic world, it's been a nightmare. And there's a lot of unintended consequences that have been affecting shipping all over the world from both COVID policy and some of the things that have been happening with COVID. But just to give you a quick snapshot, right now, outside of LA and Long Beach, two of the biggest ports in the world, there's 44 shipping boats full of shipping containers, 44 just anchored up waiting to get in. So that's not a unique issue to California ports. That is happening all over the world. And they don't give a shit if you're F1, F2, F3.
Like, yeah, exactly.
those companies make way more money than what any one company provides them with. So they go in as they come. So they can't just be like, hey, well, we're F3. We got this race. Let us in. It doesn't happen that way. So, yeah, I'm surprised it's the first issues we've seen. But it's bound to happen, this sort of thing. Hopefully this is the only issue we deal with moving forward, especially since we got some faraway races here before finishing up in the Middle East.
And also remember, this was the first time that we were going to have either F2 or F3 doing flyaway races. Normally, that is not the case. Usually Porsche Super Cup is kind of the only one that goes around the world with the F1 guys. F3 specifically normally never had gone outside of Europe. So this doesn't surprise me that they picked Sochi. If for no other reason, they can drive there. They can put the cars on the trucks, clear the customs and do whatever they got to do, but they can actually physically get there without having to board a plane or board a boat. So yeah, this was disturbing news, but like I said, I am now super confident that the USGP is going to continue to go off as scheduled. October the 24th. We hope we have a huge contingent going down there, and we hope you all join us.
Yeah, I'm going one way or the other. I just really hope I get to watch a race.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so moving on to our fan emails, where we got quite a few yet again. So thank you to everybody who contributed there. We are going to start off with our boy Dave Doherty, who asked your thoughts on the race and the strategy of the Mercedes and Red Bull. So, yeah, we covered that on the podium section. But overall, I think Red Bull had a really good strategy, which was let Max be Max, which can't go wrong 1. There.
1.7 seconds on lap one is going to help your strategy. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and they pretty much just had to cover Lewis. Mercedes kind of had that iffy moment, which, you know, they got to try something. So we can't dog it too much. I'm going to dog it again when we get to the awards. So I'll leave that for then. Unless you got anything to add, I'll move on to the next one.
No, I'm good.
And that'll be from Rachel Fleming. And she says, with all these driver announcements incoming, is it a little surprising that Yuki Tsunoda doesn't seem to be in too much danger of losing his seat? Hartley did a better job than Tsunoda and yet lost his seat at the end of 2018. So we did touch on that a little bit. I think we're both in the same boat that Yuki Tsunoda is going to get another year. I mean, super inexperienced, has flashed some really great speed, some nice quickness, some nice skills out there, but still has a lot to learn. I think, as you mentioned, in that academy, you know, it's keep up or die pretty much.
It's up or out management style over there at Red Bull. So, I mean, the fact that he hasn't had heat, I think you're right. I think they're going to give him this year, learn the car. He better show something next year. We're going to get to this part of the calendar next year. He's going to be definitely on the hot seat in terms of silly season. And to the point about Brendan Hartley, you know, again, he's not an academy driver. You know, they want, especially like AlphaTauri or Toro Rosso when it was them, they want those seats to go to academy drivers to further those chances and those opportunities.
Yeah, most definitely. All right. So then going to Chad DePue, which is at Sports Nut Chad. He said, very enjoyable Grand Prix. It was fun to see drivers taking different lines and being creative with overtakes. Wouldn't want this style track every week, but it's a wonderful change. The title fight makes every Grand Prix must see and just continues to escalate. Max has officially arrived at superstar status in every single way that I can think of. So I definitely agree with you there. Max is a worldwide superstar. I enjoyed the track too. Not the best of racing, but I'll definitely be excited to see the bank turns every time we go there moving forward. So fellow Southsider Jenny Donahue chiming in here with, does Mercedes realize that Bottas is still their driver? That was cold. Even if you're not a Bottas fan, you have to see how shitty that was. I am not a Bottas fan. I thought it was pretty funny because I'm not a Bottas guy, not a Mercedes guy.
No, I mean, it just, you know, it was... like I said, if you weren't convinced that they were making this move that hasn't been announced yet after today, I really don't know what else I can tell you, simply because they did basically everything to tell you without telling you today. And, you know, if you're a Bottas fan, that had to be frustrating. But he's going to go on and be an alpha dog at a program that, you know, maybe he does the same thing you know, like Gasly does, where he goes down and he can work and build up a program. And, you know, Frederick Vasseur at Alfa Romeo is going to encourage it, and he's going to tailor that car and the driving style around Bottas. First time he's had that in a long time since he was in Williams. So, you know, it could be a good thing. It's going to take time. But, you know, I don't think, you know, I heard it today on one of the post races. You could do a lot worse than Valtteri Bottas as a driver for you. Absolutely, for sure.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be a fan email section without hearing from show supporter Matt Polansky
from the
Red Sector MotoGP podcast. He says, today's race is called Zandvoort, Monaco on the beach. Lewis Hamilton is at it again, bitching about his tires being dead, then setting the fastest lap. This race is everything. Bottas trying to steal a fastest lap, a singer for the anthem, passes around the outside, and gearing. Gearing is that thing where... is that thing where Ginger Spice won't leave her damn mask on, built on the back of a tire strategy that was all over the place. Max basically became the new king of the Netherlands. Well, the king was there too, so probably maybe he just handed it right off. There you go.
The scepter has been passed. And it's orange, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't realize that there was a king and queen of the Netherlands.
Neither did I actually today. Until today. I'm like, I didn't know they still did that.
And I also learned that when the Dutch national anthem is sung, it's like actually like a really like nice song. I thought I obviously didn't understand anything she was singing, but I thought it sounded really good.
It was interesting that they brought her back for the podium. That is usually not done. But I mean, talk about confidence that they had her on standby that said, Max is going to win. Imagine if she had to sing like the British national anthem. How well would that have gone down?
Yeah, they probably just popped in the old CD or something. Like
the standard organ that they normally play.
Hey, would you custom make a race suit into some sort of kind of dressy race suit that she was wearing? You got to get as much play out of that as you possibly can.
I guess so.
Totally made sense.
I guess so.
But she did do a great job. I thought the anthem, even my wife who wasn't watching, she was just kind of listening. She's like, I don't know what that lady was singing, but I kind of really liked that song. I'm like, I know, it was pretty good. So learned a couple things about the Dutch and the why can't I think of where it is now?
Zandvoort?
Please help me out here.
Zandvoort Beach?
Yeah. The Zandvoortians, maybe? Zandvoortians? I don't know.
Zandvoortites.
We'll figure. I like that better. There you go. All right, so fan emails are done. Let's go ahead and move into our award section. And with that, we'll start with rubbish, and you can kick it off.
Oh, boy. I don't know that I have as much. There's nothing that really kind of angered me this weekend, which was kind of nice to at least not have a ton of things. I guess the only thing that kind of annoyed me was just the length of some of the red flag delays. You know, if you're going to do that and you're going to have that problem, you could look at maybe stopping the clock at a practice so that people still get running in. There was no reason why that didn't have to happen that way. But I mean, I get trying to keep to a schedule, but you know, maybe there's some common sense things that we could start to work into our program a little bit here and there. That's probably the only thing that I had in terms of rubbish. So yeah, just the length of the red flag delays and I'm not blaming any of the marshalling. That's just a tough job and they're all volunteers. So hopefully they will get it better. And I'm sure the track will work with those people and make it better moving forward.
For me, I'm going to go with Mazepin and the way that him and Schumacher are getting along lately.
Or not.
Not good. Yeah. And kind of be duking it out in the media instead of like as a team in a team meeting or something. Just not a good look, which if that surprises you, then
you haven't been paying attention.
I don't know what to tell you. Yeah.
This is who he is. Like it's been funny to see like they've. Whoever does the PR at Haas, I actually think has done some yeoman's work this year because they've managed to contain him until kind of now. And we've gotten, you know, halfway through this season and he really hadn't shown that other asshat side of him. Well, that was on full display today in front of the media.
In a nutshell.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, Nikita Mazepin has a head shaped like an egg. And he's a spoiled brat who's used to getting his way. And that is really starting to show now.
Yep.
And it's just.
That's what you signed. That's what you signed. I hope the money's worth it, Gene.
Yeah, exactly. So for analysis paralysis, I'm pretty much just going to give it to Mercedes. Even though, like we said, they got to try something there. So I can't really hate on them too much. But I couldn't really think of anything else. So analysis paralysis for Mercedes. Andy, do you
agree? Yeah, I will concur with that in terms of strategy calls. A lot of people were trying to do some other things. I applaud the effort. I applaud the try. It was being in the role that you had to be at this race, which is, I think, progress for Mercedes and somewhere that they weren't overestimating what their car could do. So that's positive. But in the end, it didn't work. And you had 2-on-1 and you didn't finish it. So you have to try to do that when you have that position with Perez not being there because he might not be there. He might be back up there next race.
Yep. For my dark horse of the day, I'm going to go with Pierre Gasly. Just a great Saturday, great Sunday. I mean, he's just getting the most he can out of that car.
Yeah.
Who do you got?
Again, agreed. Pierre Gasly, standout of, you know, kind of the best of the rest this weekend. Kind of minor award for Leclerc because I thought he did an awesome job this weekend as well. You know, P1 in the practices, and hey, he paid off for James there. So, you know, that's always good.
I would agree with you there. I just can't bring myself to
call him a dark horse.
Ferrari driver is a dark horse.
Well, I may not last very long. I mean, you know, if they can it's so tight, this P3 thing, and I think it's so circuit specific. And I'm on the other side of it now. I can't tell you how this is going to go, because I think it's going to be one. I think it's just like the front, the battle at the front. It's going to be one track this, one track that, one track this, one track that.
Yep. And then for driver of the day, who you got?
Oh, Max Verstappen, completely on another level. Same. He lapped to P3 for crying out loud. 1.7 seconds on the first lap with everything to play for and not being in the best position on the grid necessarily. I mean, obviously it was P1, but it wasn't the preferred line. And just it didn't matter because he was that good.
Yeah. Yeah, epic drive by Max to do it in front of his home fans. I mean, that's just pressure on another level, you know, to perform like that when you know everybody's there to see you and to see you perform. So, you know, he was born in Belgium, won there in a weird thing last week, and now where his home country is, he what he refers to as his home country, he won this week. So just an awesome weekend for Max. All right, so to recap the race predictions, Andy, nice job, sir, with 5 points. You got Max on pole, the qualifying lap time, 2 for the race podium, and 1 for fastest lap time. So real nice job there. Deanna came in 2nd with 4. She had 1 for Max on pole, 3 points for race podium. I also had 4 provisionally.
Yes.
Because I had 1 for Max on pole, 2 for race podium. And we're pretty sure I won the bonus pick for overtakes because I had the most. We're pretty sure it went over 16, but we haven't confirmed that yet. So if anybody out there in the Twitter sphere of F1, if anybody knows that, if you could let us know or send us
point us in the direction of a site that tracks that, we would be most appreciative. But we're pretty sure that there was enough contract overtakes to give James the 4th point. Yes.
And I don't mind taking the point, so I will gladly do so. John bringing up the rear with 3. He had 1 for Max on pole, 2 for race podium. So that is it there. So for the season standings, John still in 1st with 44. Andy, you're still in 2nd with 37. Deanna in 3rd with 32. And I am still in last with 31. So, you know, everybody loves an underdog.
Hey, look out. I proved I went from your basement to the top of it by the end of it. So anything is possible, buddy.
True. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So for some final thoughts, didn't have too much talk on the track itself, besides some complaints about some red flag times there. But overall, what'd you think about the bank turns? What'd you think about Zandvoort?
I love the banking. I love the banking in turn 3. I love the fact that you could have multiple lines. I kind of got a bit of a NASCAR Charlotte Roval feel to some of the corners, along with kind of an Indianapolis feel, especially that turn 14 complex with the banking there. I think in order to make this track really, really cook, you got to do a couple of things. One, you've got to move the DRS back to where it was really intended to be, and that was at the start of the banked final turn there, because you just didn't have enough room. It looked like it was like 100 meters or something too short to actually be able to pull some moves off going into that Tarzan corner, although there were some that were able to do it. And the other fascinating thing was when they were doing it, they were passing on the outside, which is something you don't see a lot in modern Formula One, especially with these cars. I am super excited to see next year's aero with ground effect being what it is and the ability to maybe be in that more dirty air and not have a ton of problems maintaining your speed, because there's enough twisty parts where you can maybe see some overtakes in some other corners that you didn't even see this year and in this race. I love the track. I love the atmosphere. Sign me up. I'm in on Zandvoort. I want to see this thing become a permanent fixture on the calendar for sure.
Yeah, big same here. Love the bank turns. Turn 3 was awesome. I know Deanna loved it too. We are a pro Turn 3 podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe with some more show donations, we can actually get it named, the LFFM podcast turn.
There you go.
I don't know, something crazy. Just keep the money rolling in and we'll find out.
We'll just put Outland F1 Nation where that Aramco sign was. That's what we'll do.
That would be awesome. I'm down with Zandvoort. I'm excited to see next year, like you said, with the new aero setup. So, big fan. Just hope the racing gets better next year. It'd be nice.
Yeah. It qualified well. I mean, the qualifying was probably where the money was this weekend. That session tight throughout, and drivers pushing, and that's why they were wrecking. So I think that was, I think, the best part. And, you know, you needed either tires or, you know, enough DRS in order to make it work. So, yeah, but I'm totally in on this track. I want to see this awesome atmosphere get rewarded with a better product on track next year.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, besides that, you know, the third leg of the triple header is next weekend. We're going to the Temple of Speed, Monza. So that should be exciting. Should be another good one for the epic battle we have at the top of the table. You know, I'm not going to give any predictions yet, but I'm really hoping we see another Max victory. And hopefully Red Bull can pull it in a little closer in the Constructors' Championship so we can see an epic battle on both fronts here for the last handful of races. But besides that, I think that's all we have for you tonight. Thanks for listening. Hopefully we got a full crew back for Wednesday night to talk about Monza and preview that track. But until then, Andy, do your thing.
As always, folks, may all your laps be fast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at OutlapF1 Podcast or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support and we'll see you on the next one.